listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Watching haters wonder why Gambino got the game lock. Half tie thicky, all she wanna do is Bangkok. Got her hair done, French braids, now she ASAP. But you know, so insensitive, she asking why he say that. I'm chilling, real nigga feeling. Rich kid asshole, paint me as a villain. Still spitting that cash flow, DJ Khaled. Got penthouses on both coasts, PH balance. Real nigga, I rep those. Why though? Cause I said so. Hip deep in them Peptos. Got five on it like Ben Folds. You got more tail than Petco. You faker this. So sweet and low. Yeah, you got some silverware, but really, are you eating though?
Are you eating though? Nigga, are you eating though?
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner's for beginners. You ain't even know. Never catch your cases. Why these faces look so EMO? Watch a hater hate me. Wanna play me like a piano? My architect, no Japanese. Yo, girl, she Japanese. No hands like soccer teams. Y'all fuck boys like Socrates. You niggas ain't copping these. Niggas ain't looking like me. Nigga ain't checking ID, but I bounce them with no problem. Tell them problem. I'm winning. Yeah, I'm winning. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Wednesday. Ready to wrap up the week.
Yes, sir.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that. Okay, I feel like we've only gotten one in the last 2 weeks, which means either everybody's written a 5-star review.
Everybody. I'm talking about everybody listening has, and I don't believe you.
Or you don't care anymore, which is probably the truth.
Y'all don't love us no more.
It's cool. Y'all don't want to come back to death row. That's fine. But you can find us all those places. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. That's right. Shadow Dog Productions is the maker of some fine handcrafted audio plays, but they also have a YouTube page. And they have basically decided to put the outtakes from when people fuck up during the audio play readings on the YouTube, which, you know, should make for a pretty hilarious collection of gags and gimmicks and stuff, because then you get to see everybody's flaws and stuff too, which I think I was thinking about this today. I think I wrote this on Facebook, but I was like, isn't it wild how all of us know that a lot of life is trial and error?
Yes, it is.
All of us, right? If you to ask people that, I'm not perfect, I make mistakes, we all make mistakes, da 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 da. But then so much of social media and the image people portray is about never making a mistake.
Right.
Never being weak. Never, like, people talk more about their trials than their errors is what I'm saying. Like, you can talk about your trials, like the things that have been done to you, things that, you know, have befallen you. But to talk about where you fucked up, people don't really put that out. Like, everybody likes to project this.
They do that, like, something wrong with you.
What you mean?
Like, if you come out and be like, well, I fucked up in this area or I did something wrong, everybody want to turn around and judge you like you're just the worst person on the earth, even though everybody fucks up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the error part of trial and error, it's not that much. So, Shadow Dog Productions, I think it's kind of cool what they're doing is they're taking out, they're putting out videos that have some of the mistakes in them. Have you ever seen those videos by YouTube celebrities who have an edit cut every 5 seconds because they can't get through a single fucking sentence without stumbling their words or losing their train of thought? It's annoying as fuck, so we roasted those mofos in our Brooke Crusher's web series promo. Yeah, if you guys have ever seen, this happens a lot, no offense to, because I actually have some friends who do this for a living, but where they do the thing where it's like, you know, I'm going to talk about this, but then it's like every 5 seconds it's a cut. You know, whether it's a cut of them looking at the camera, making a face, or a cut of them, you know, cutting out the spaces in between sentences, which I know that's good editing, but it's so weird because it's not the way anyone talks.
And it does not sound natural.
Yeah. Like, I've seen those videos, and I'm always like, how much work is that?
A lot.
Like, you had to cut out all your pauses, all your stop in. You know, how many times you have to record certain sentences twice? It seems like a lot of work. I mean, that's definitely why I couldn't do it. But yeah, so they made a YouTube video, and I will put it in the link in the comments. All right, I mean, not the comments, in the show notes. All right, let's get into show time. Let's talk about what's going on with the show. Okay, guys, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Where do we start with the news? I feel like we could start anywhere. You know what? Let's start with some random thoughts. There we go. Yeah, that's a good place to start. I'm thinking about starting a dating site for people that are willfully obtuse called Okay Stupid. And it's gonna be okay comma stupid, because that's how I feel about willfully obtuse people. Where I'm like, okay. Or maybe one for Black Republicans, Okay Coompit. Okay, that could be a good one. No. Coons gotta date somebody.
Somebody.
The rest of us Black people don't wanna date them, and I'm sure there's a list of white folks that wouldn't mind putting up with some cooning, but you know, it could be like, you know, Black people meet, but with coons, you know. All the people that want to meet those Make America Great Again ass niggas, they could do that.
Have a field day.
I wonder who books the Eric Andre Show. I don't know if that show's still around, but now it's kind of been replaced by
I enjoyed that show, but yeah, I thought they took a break, but yeah.
Yeah, it's been a couple years though, and it's been kind of replaced by the show called Mostly for Millennials. I don't know if you guys watch Adult Swim. That is a
weird fucking show.
Yeah, if you guys watch Adult Swim, I love both of these shows, by the way. I don't give a fuck. They always manage to get celebrity guests on there, and my question is, who books those guests?
I don't know, and you can tell that the celebrity is like, what the fuck did I sign up for?
Yeah, like, who books those guests? And how do they keep those people from hunting them down and killing them for it?
Come on!
Like, I don't, like, they, like, it's honestly, amazing, what they get away with. It also says something about how much people, like, fame is just showing up and being places.
Yeah, because somebody else, particularly once you get to a certain status, somebody else schedules this shit for you and you just show up.
Yeah, like how, like it's almost like that new show by Sacha Baron Cohen, Who Is America, where he gets legitimate, like, famous and powerful politicians to come on the show somehow.
Hey, you know her from Clueless.
Hold on, I'll stop this real quick. But they come on the show for real, and it's like, how, one, to have the balls to do that to a person, but two, like, how do they not just find you and track you down and fuck you up? Like, this is wild. Yeah, so,
and also, is the person that's booking, that person probably needs to be fired, because they need to vet better. I will be so pissed.
You mean on the celebrity side?
Yes, whoever's vetting, please Google, do something, because you can find out about this shit, see past interviews before you book me.
Yeah, now here's this example of what I'm talking about for you guys in chat who've never seen the show before.
It's hilarious.
This is an interview with Stacey Dash, okay?
Oh, that shit was everything.
Stacey Dash, Eric Andre Show. Who put you up to this? Who told you this is okay?
Right.
News, please give it up for Stacey Dash!
Oh, it's kind of freezing on my end. Is it freezing on y'all's? Or is it showing?
I see it moving.
Stacy and Dash, S&D. What's going on, Playgirl?
Stacy Dash, yes.
Am I speaking loud?
You're on Fox News.
I am on Fox News. Why did you say it like that?
I am on board with, I'd say, 110% of your politics.
Thank you.
I think abortion is not acceptable under any circumstance, even in the case of rape or incest, because these rape incest babies need to contribute to society.
They deserve a life.
They deserve a painful life.
Well, I'm not saying except
I'm sick of this president. I mean, look at this guy.
It's a picture of Obama.
This is what he's doing now?
And it's obviously photoshopped to show his dick.
Put that away.
Head of a verse can't even keep a straight face and starts cracking the fuck up in the background. How do you as a celebrity not just get up and walk the fuck out? Like, okay, I don't know what I got booked to do. This is obviously ridiculous. This is a time in her life when she was trying to be taken seriously as a news commentator.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can anyone take you seriously after you do this show, babe?
put that away.
This is what this guy is doing now with our tax dollars?
No, I don't want to see it.
It's unbelievable. He's taking selfies in the Oval Office with Michelle.
Could you just lower that?
But he is welling down.
For a second, please. Just put that thing down.
You want to hear my Drake impersonation?
Okay.
I went to Toronto. I went to Atlanta. I used to drink Pepsi, but now I like Fanta.
Now, while this is happening, you guys can probably hear the little squeaks. They have let mice, or rats really, rats, into the place where they're talking,
mm-hmm.
onto the floor underneath her feet,
mm-hmm.
right? They have just let rats in here, okay?
Did you see American Sniper?
Of course I did.
Who do you think the next race is that Bradley Cooper's going to play? Do you think it's going to be Ty Cobb?
Ty Cobb.
One of the rats touched her foot, which is sitting on the ground, and she has no shoes on.
Hitting black people in the face with a baseball bat.
Why are you saying you're playing racist? Oh, there's bugs. Oh, my God!
What? What's going on?
Oh, my God! There's more than one.
No, we got a ton. We got a real problem on our hands.
There's rats.
No. Oh, yeah. We got a real problem.
It's ridiculous, but so I'm like, and they do this all the time.
They've had like Sinbad, they've had a lot of celebrities, but I'm looking like, oh baby, you don't know what you just signed
Sinbad
up for.
Sinbad and Flavor Flav both was about to whoop their ass. Roy Hibbert, same. Like, I don't know who's booking this show, but God bless them, man, because I know they can't show their face nowhere, because I know if they book me on this shit and I got pranked with some rats, I'm looking for your ass just on GP, bruh. Don't go nowhere where I can find you. I'm coming up with a new program, because I heard MoviePass is going pretty bad for folks right now.
Me too.
A lot of people are saying like MoviePass is on its way out, and they're changing the rules. You're going to see 3 movies a week, and then like there's an upcharge for good movies and all the stuff. And I was like, I'm going to create a program that's $10 a month, and you can see all the unlimited movies you want to see, but only if they're the worst rated movie currently in theaters. So I'm going to call it Movie Trash.
People will sign up for that.
Yeah, so it's $10, and you can go ahead and see, you know, whatever's getting the most horrible ratings. You know, like it's a 10-11%, something like that. Well, go see that shit. Nobody else is gonna see it. The theater should just be happy I'm seeing the people there. I think Movie Trash would be a brilliant idea, you know, and most people probably won't go to use it. They'll do like a gym membership. They'll pay for it, but they won't use it because they don't want to see trash movies. They can stay home and watch them. But
yeah, and then you're gonna have several people that was like, you know what, I'm gonna go every day now, because now I get to see these terrible movies.
It's the same movie. It's not movies. This, whatever the worst rated movie is that month, you can see it as many times as you want.
Movie trash.
Mm-hmm. So you can't be like, oh, I heard Star Wars The Last Jedi got subpar reviews, isn't it trash? No.
Mm-mm.
Whatever the worst movie is rated in the theater at the current time, that's the only one you can see for that month. Okay. It's a $1 billion idea though. I've been seeing a lot of people talk about movies, and they say they cry during movies. Like, oh, I cried during Pixar movies. I cried during Coco. Oh, I cried during Moana. I cried during that Snow movie.
Well, I've never seen that movie.
Mm-hmm, me neither. But I was thinking about this. Crying during Pixar movies ain't shit. All of y'all cried during Pixar movies. That's nothing to brag about. It's nothing to be proud about. That doesn't mean you're emotionally in touch or in tune. You cry during Pixar movies. Once a year, you cry. That's nothing. Call me when you cry during the opening, closing, or middle act of Uncle Drew. Then we can talk. And when you cry during some regular shit, just when you are just watching an episode of Cloak and Dagger and you can't help yourself, that's being in touch with your emotions. Crying during Pixar movies is cliche at this point. Like, I wouldn't give anybody credit for that. And I think we need to raise the bar on being in touch with your emotions. You're not vulnerable because you cry when that nigga saying, remember me. Everybody was crying. Wow. Congratulations. What an amazing person you must be. Cry during some shit nobody cries during, and then I'll give you some credit. People keep saying millennials are ruining America.
What is the millennium age group? Millennial. Is everybody
millennial?
Millennium.
Millennial.
Millennial. Is everybody a
millennial?
Millennial. Sorry.
I
don't know why that word's so hard for me right now.
I've heard it's up to 38. Is what I've heard.
I don't know. Everybody.
That's what I heard. You just asked. You said you don't know.
No, I don't.
So I'm telling you what I heard. Okay.
Well, then there's a generation X, Y, Z, Q, P. I don't know. I don't know what these generational things are.
Okay. All right. Black people love not knowing.
Nope.
At any rate, what about the Willennials? Are they ruining America too? Because I remember when Willennium came out, Will Smith dropped it, and that is my era. So I wonder how they feel about us, because I, you know, people say Generation X, Generation Y. I think we're the Willennials, and then, you know, the people after us are the Millennials. It's the only thing that makes sense.
I agree.
And as a Willennial, I'm glad people are letting us off the hook and blaming the Millennials, because I don't have time.
No.
You can tell a lot about people by how they feel and how they drive when they get around the student driver cars. You know what I'm talking about, y'all? Mm-hmm. With cars, the student driver's son.
Mm-hmm.
People are assholes to them. It's fucked up because we all had to learn that way.
Correct.
That big ass sign. And it's fucked up even worse is because if it wasn't that sign, most people wouldn't even be mad.
I probably agreed.
You really get hazed as a fucking student driver into, like, you learn all the wrong lessons when you have that student driver sign. They really should take that shit off of the car,
right?
Because it's honestly the worst way to learn how to drive, because it's not like people see it and they're kind and they go, we should have patience.
Most people get angry.
They're a student driver, I'm gonna be careful how I go around them. No, people see that shit and they're like, ah, beep, move both, asshole. I'm going to drive you off the road. Like, what's wrong with us as a society?
Fly around them, got the driver panicking and shit.
Like, we want that person to learn how it is to actually be on the road, and we're teaching them all the wrong shit. Let me just cut them off without my signal. Fuck you, motherfucker.
Right.
Driving the actual speed limit, you stupid bitch.
I know. Especially because there are some older people. You know, people learn how to drive when they're older, but most of them are like teenagers. So you got somebody like doing their hours, and you got the teacher in there going, turn your signal on, put your hand on the 2 and 10, and they got people just flying all around them.
Let me just ride your bumper, dick face.
Come on, blow my horn. Let me get in front of you and slam on brakes.
Like, what's wrong with you? Give human beings a little bit of power, man.
They lose their mind.
This is why we can't have socialism, by the way. Shit like this. Because, like, on the rules of the road, that's not a capitalist function. Everybody should be able to get on the rules of the road and share it. But you know why people don't? Because people are fucked up on the inside. Humanity is fucked up. We can't help it. We ruin everything. We should all, for the greater good of society, want that person to succeed, to blend in and learn how to drive. And we put that motherfucker through the goddamn ringer. Why? Last thing. Well, actually, second to last thing, because one of these isn't funny. Lois Lane was the most astute reporter on the planet, and she was dating a catfish her whole life.
Would you call that astute?
What does that mean, exactly? What does that say about her and the Daily Bugle? What does that say, exactly? I don't know.
Her whole job is investigating.
She was dating a catfish her whole fucking life and had no idea. Waiting on this nigga to tell her the truth because of some glasses.
I have a question. In the comics, did she ever find out who he was?
Yeah, and everything she eventually finds out because he tells her.
Oh, not because she investigated and found out.
Right.
Okay.
She didn't just discover it on her own. I mean, I'm sure someone's written it that way, but most places, most fiction has him telling her as a sign of love and trust, and then they get married. But it's just so ridiculous. All right, guys. Let's get into this thing I want to talk about. That's not that funny, but I thought it was important.
Okay.
I don't understand the obsession with black people shitting on events like Black Brunch, Trap Yoga, I don't know, whatever other black thing, Black Rowing, Black What's Nerds, that? Black, what, you know, you pick the thing that people do to gather under the banner of blackness, and there's always a group of black people shitting on it.
Agreed.
It was a conversation only for us, you know, like, I don't really care what white people think about this shit, but it's something I've been noticing for years.
Particularly with social media, yeah.
Yeah, it's something I've been noticing for years. The other day, I saw someone tweet something about, what's black people's obsession with, what's upper class and white collar black people's obsession with things like ratchet? Like, I went to I got invited to an event that said it was for Sophista Ratchet for lawyers or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, as a black person, you can't win for losing with these things.
Mm-mm.
Because one, the statistics show there's not enough black people who have been isolated from the culture long enough to truly say at random any collection of black people have not experienced the hood, the ghetto,
some form of poverty,
like whatever, just, or black culture. It's literally a needle in a motherfucking haystack to find the black, a group of black people who have never experienced any of this shit.
A group, individual is one thing, but you get a group of us together, it's a whole nother thing.
So to act like black people put on cultural cosplay as black people,
right,
is kind of presumptive at best. Not to say there's nobody, because there's exceptions to every rule, but in general, it's not true. You know, like, there's niggas that are lawyers and shit that you don't know where they come from.
Mm-mm.
Your assumption is one thing, but you don't know. And once you see where someone's gotten, it's like you build the story in your head of how they got there, but you don't know. They might not be these Jack and Jill kids.
Come on.
You know, not that, I mean, we all have people in our families and stuff that have accomplished things with PhDs and degrees, and they make a certain amount of money, and they live, and a lot of times they take on a lot of debt and stuff.
Come on.
But they live in these places, and they still come to the family reunion and the cookout because they came from the same family you did. They're not a different person now that they got that degree. You know, black women are among the most educated people in America, but I'd be damned if we could sit up here and question their blackness because they're educated or accomplished or they got money now that they didn't have growing up. You know, like, we talk about that all the time in other spaces where it's like, yes, some woman might be a baby mama and a PhD. Who the fuck are you to judge?
Come on. And when you judge like that, when you're making those assumptions, guess what? The trap house had kids in it. And guess what? Them kids became adults. So you talking this shit. One of these doctors, a lawyer, somebody, they might have been the kid in the trap house. You don't know. You're making assumptions.
Yeah, just, I mean, you might come from there. You might be the person they call when somebody gets arrested. Like, you just don't. It's just kind of ridiculous. And it all goes back to this function of trying to judge other black people because they've hurt you or before they can judge you back.
Right.
But it's kind of sad because there's really no reason or proof that we have that this is what people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're quote-unquote successful as a black person, because of the way America's set up, it launches you on a path where you're more and more surrounded by white people.
Yes.
Career-wise and sometimes even socially. And what's frustrating about that shit is that while I might not need that when I'm in the mailroom to do the Brunching While Black or whatever, and I have to code switch on my 9-to-5 every day, which we all know about code switching because we're, you know, all black people experience this. How you think gonna penalize me for code switching, which I'm doing to survive or doing to get ahead or whatever? You know I'm code switching, and you know it's a skill we all have to be adept at to survive in a white capitalist patriarchal society. We all have to do it, and yet somehow we turn around and judge black people for their ability to do it, which is very weird. And I don't understand why the assumption would be the real you, the real black person, is that person at that 9-to-5 and not the nigga at brunch for Sophista Ratchet or whatever the fuck, or the person going to trap yoga, listening to trap music. I don't understand why we assume the recreational use of or time that this black person has is not the real them anyway. This is a weird conundrum, you know, and it's this surface level interrogation of blackness that continues to plague us and continues to be so divisive and pointless, because it's such a waste of energy, because you can't really know a person strictly from the fact that they went to black brunching while black or whatever. But people will pull out that blavity black shit. People, you know, pull out that you know, like, you don't come from
blavity.
The blavity black shit is a pejorative thing that people use for this website called Blavity. Is basically about like certain black people that they feel are not black enough.
Oh, they do that bullshit. One thing I can say about me is that something I do not do, I don't question people's blackness. Like, even
I do, but you just gotta be a coon. I'm not questioning it because you go to yoga.
No.
But like, if you are on TV saying, you know, Donald Trump is the best thing to happen to black Americans since Abraham Lincoln, then yes, I question your blackness specifically. I'm like, I'm not gonna sit up here and pretend like nobody's a coon, we all in this together. There's certain people where I'm like, nah, I don't know what's up with that person.
Yeah, I feel like that. I don't know what's up with you, but I still look at you and I see a black person. So you're black, you're crazy, but you're still black.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, yeah,
you can deny me, but right, your ass is still a nigga. So I don't question your like that's something that I don't do. I put like this: I don't put people out of blackness in my for me the way I interact with people. And the thing is, I think the thing for me is that I've kind of dealt with that, because I've had people that I've interacted with that I became real close friends with, who actually looked at, because I consider myself a regular ass nigga. I got a degree and all this stuff, but I consider myself a regular ass nigga. And one of my friends, she was saying, like, when she first met me, she was saying that she thought that I would judge her, and she thought that I even before she, you know, she got to know me, she just made these assumptions. I was like, no, I say I don't do that. I treat everybody with the level playing field, and once we go beyond that, it's all about how my interactions with you are will dictate, you know, what the relationship becomes. But yeah, I don't question, because anything that we step into, just the way America is gonna be black. Be it black yoga, black brunch, black lunch, black break, it's gonna be black, because niggas there. It just automatically forms into something black.
Yeah, and the blavity black thing kind of refers to black people that kind of like discovered their blackness, you know, people that maybe they grew up in a white space, maybe they get online and they really start hammering home, you know, the brand of blackness and talking about black shit and writing about black shit, or they become an activist because black is the wave, or it was the wave for at least under Obama and shit. And there is that phenomenon out there. Like, I'm not saying those people don't exist, but what I'm saying is a lot of the black checking of them and a lot of the black checking that they do comes from this fear of rejection that is already present in black culture.
Correct.
That is like, I'm going to dismiss you, question your blackness, and kick you out of blackness, quote unquote, because I'm so upset with you, or I'm afraid you'll try to do it to me. You know, one of the ways you see people like that imitate what they feel like is blackness is by coming in and gate check keeping and telling, you know, like, I'm gonna fight white people the hardest I can, and I'm gonna check all the black people in the, and it's like, yeah, you're doing it too hard. You know what I mean? Like, you can calm down a little bit. You just got here. It's cool. You still black. No one's kicking you out of blackness, but you also don't have to come and ruin every party so you can be the star of it. You know, you also don't need to come and put us all under your wing on some like altruistic shit the way white people do, where it's like, I'm like, you're an ally to blackness. Like, I'm gonna help y'all do this. We don't need the help. We're good. Just come in and you can chill, get a plate, sit down to cook out, you know? But yeah, I was just thinking about that, like, as a concept, and it's just something I've been seeing for so long. And specifically when black people get a little bit of money or a little bit of status, it's like we suddenly have to find a way that they're not black enough.
I don't understand that concept right there. we all come from different backgrounds, but that trips me out because the thing is, if I worked hard and I strive for it, I can have money and still be black. Why do black people have to need to be good time in order to quote unquote be real? That's dumb.
Well, not just that, but what if I I'm in a white space, I work at a white job, I may live in an area where there's less black people now depending on where I'm living. So I throw up, hey, we're gonna do a black pool party, you know, hey, it's the ratchet pool party, Sophista Ratchet, this, you know, these words that we play with all the time that essentially mean like, yeah, we might be you know, people that put on a fucking collar to go to work, but I'm still a nigga, and we still gonna listen to this Jay-Z and Beyonce this weekend, and we still gonna cook out, and we gonna drink Hennessy and all the shit that people think is stereotypical, but we as black people are doing it together,
right?
So we're not judging each other because we all come from this, you know. This isn't like some white person put on the Sophista Ratchet party, because that's how people treat it, you know, like, oh, y'all black and brunch and wild black, why don't you just go to brunch and be black? That's corny. It's like, or we can want to get together and make a social event out of us black people kicking it, because if I don't do that, y'all say I forget my roots.
Come on.
No, y'all say I'm not proud of being black no more. So like, either way, it's a catch-22, and it's kind of stupid to see people go through it. If we got introduced to Jay-Z and Beyonce today and there was no way to Google what the fuck their evolution was, a lot of people would be questioning their blackness. And not too long ago, people were questioning their blackness, and some still are. Cause, you know, it was, they making so much money. Oh, they billionaires. They capitalists. They this. Meanwhile, they give all these causes. Meanwhile, their music is advocating for the people and all this shit, specifically black people. But at the same time, if you didn't know them, they're fashion icons. They're activists. They're this, they're that. You might question their realness, but they're also a nigga from the Marcy Projects and a nigga from Houston. You know what I mean? It's so weird though, because like, we decide to take the context out of it with certain people. You can't divorce the context if you're black and you know about Jay-Z and Beyonce at this point, because everybody stands for them. But there was a time, shit, when she released Beyonce, the self-titled album, I read more than one article on this show of other black people being like, she not really real, this is all fake, she doesn't mean any of this shit, she's just she's not a real feminist, she's not a real black activist, she's not a real this is just a veneer she's putting on so she can make money, because this is what's in right now. I remember those pieces. Mm-hmm. I read them. Mm-hmm. Some black people felt that way, and my point is, we do it to everybody. And it's fucking tiring. Like, I don't know how people can keep that intensity up. I'm at the point where people question Sean King's blackness, and I don't say shit, because I'm just like, I don't know, and I don't care. It right. really don't matter, to right. be honest. It don't even matter. Mm-mm. It's just a thing to hold over his head to push him out, even when he's making a good point, you know? And when he's making a bad point, well, just belabor that shit. You know what I mean? Like, at that point, well, just go after him, because it's something about us that makes us want to do that. I disagree with you. You cannot be black.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I know he's an extreme example, but my point being, that's how I feel at this point, because it's become so extreme. Everybody's not black enough.
But ain't nobody black enough but you, nigga?
Everybody's blackness is suspect enough for debate and all this shit. It's just so ridiculous. And I know this won't stem the tide or change anything what I'm saying right now, and there's some people probably formulating ways that this is incorrect or it's okay because we need to justify our ability to do this, but mm-mm. I feel like it's a waste of energy and we don't need to do it, so I don't.
Right. And the thing is, particularly once you go up the corporate ladder, or if you're in certain fields, you want that a relationship with other black people. Like, you just want the relationship. I know most black people do. You do have some black people that go, I don't fuck with niggas. That's a whole different scenario. But the average black person will like, hey, I put up a flare, or hey, I go to the black and wild brunch, I might meet a good friend, a good pal, or you know, somebody I can kick it with, somebody I can talk to, some shit that is not white, they can understand certain jokes I make, that watches Insecure and watches Atlanta and you know, watches certain shows with me, and it's all right and it's okay.
Yeah, it's just interesting because it's like everyone's doing these tests almost to just like dismantle somebody because we just come into it looking for these errors. It goes back to that first thing I said on the show today, where the trial and error, people are looking for these errors and looking to see why somebody else has a weakness, why they have a vulnerability. And that, and we put so much energy into that. Meanwhile, no one gets canceled.
Right, nobody.
You're not actually changing anything. Mm-mm. You're just putting all this animosity into this world. I'll just waste it, hateful ass energy that ultimately ends up being fruitless. You know, like, if they can't cancel Sean King, if they couldn't cancel Don Lemon at the height of Don Lemon, when he was out here talking about Bill O'Reilly is right, that black people have a horrible culture, and he didn't go far enough and added on five things of his own that were very respectability politics and anti-black, you know, like, and now people are like, he grew a fro out, he back, you know. You can't cancel any of these people anyway, but there's just something so, I don't know, sad and depressing about the way that we just like to do. We know there's a duality to black consciousness in America, and yet we are probably our harshest critics when it comes to black joy.
Right. And that's something that when you look at it, it doesn't make any sense. So you mean to tell me I have to fight the white people and I have to fight your black ass too? It don't make no sense. The energy and the effort and the time that you are putting into nonsense that at the end of the day will not change your life, will not rock your world, will not put another fucking dime in your goddamn pocket. The energy and the effort that you're putting towards me, you could put it towards something way more productive in your life.
Yeah, and it's wild because I don't party in general, and I would never go to some like black brunch shit like that. It's just not for me. But I would never behoove somebody that went or feel like that made them somehow less black than me, or that made them a different type of black person. Like, it's such a weird thing. I mean, people feel the same way about the word blurred. Like, oh, just the word blurred automatically turns people off, and they get upset with the blurred culture and all this shit. And I'm like, why was that our first reaction? Why was that your first reaction? Why was that the first thing you thought of, was some kind of way that these black people were not well-meaning? Doesn't mean everybody that used that moniker is perfect and flawless. And nah, it doesn't mean that. There's going to be some people that are fucked up that are blurs. There's going to be some people that are fucked up that would never call themselves blurs.
Right.
But the point being, there's something within us that makes us so skeptical right away. And that feeling is it's just, I don't know, it's a horrible feeling.
Yeah. And I think for me, my stance towards that word has softened a bit. I think for me, just the social media interaction with people around that word just kind of turned me off towards that word, blurred. And like I said, it softened a little bit, just a little bit, not a whole lot, but just a little bit.
What do you mean, not a whole lot? What does that mean?
Like, it doesn't bother me as much as it used to, because
but it still bothers you. You just said not a whole lot, so yes. Why does it still bother you?
I guess for me, just everybody's different, but when I see people use the word blur, just from my interaction, I have a small circle on Twitter, it's more of their proximity to whiteness. And I know a lot of niggas don't use it in that term, but it's like, hey, I'm a blur, I'm a black nerd, you know, I want to stand out among these white people, so I call myself this because of my proximity to whiteness, and y'all niggas ain't special like me, and y'all niggas don't know nothing about anime, and y'all niggas don't know nothing about this, and it's stupid. And I'm like, it doesn't make any sense. And I have learned that there are people in the blur community that don't think like that and don't function like that. But it's almost like socialist. You say something, and the next thing you know, they're hollering and screaming and beat you upside the head at 10. You're going to have a nasty taste in your mouth. And so for me, I had a nasty taste in my mouth because I was like, oh, y'all niggas ain't special. I watched Naruto too. What the fuck? You know, and like I said, and that's something within me. I'm not going to lie. They rose up. They was like, what you ain't gonna do, nigga, is act like you a fucking special snowflake and act like you the only one that read manga and you the only one that play video games, because you're not. You know, so that was my introduction to it. So for me, I was just like, nah, I'm good. I don't use that word. And you even know I wouldn't even accept the word nerd for a long time because I was like, I'm not a goddamn nerd.
Well, even after all the evidence you've gathered to the counter at this point, all the people you know that you've met that would call themselves blurs, they are exactly not like that. You still harbor resentment against that word and people that use that word.
Yeah, because like I said, because just the way that they use it, don't use it to bludgeon me. And like I said, that's something within me that I need to fix.
Are people using it to bludgeon you? I mean, let's be real. Is that something that's happening to you?
Not like I say, and it's one of the things where it's not directed at me, but I do read people interacting with each other and going at each other and just falling out over that word. Mm. So I see your conversations, and if you're talking in general, a lot of times I'm human. You probably talking about me too. I might not popping at you and scream at you, but I do have feelings about it.
What kind of things are you seeing? What kind of conversations?
Let me think. I would have to sit and think about it because there hasn't been anything recently because, you know, ain't no new movies came out, you know, or nothing like that. I don't see people falling out about shit like that. And I know that people have these conversations and I'm not as deep in those world, in that world as other people are. I'm more of a outskirt person, so I only see conversations once they get more mainstream. I have to sit and think about it.
Okay, it's just interesting because that's the exact point that I was making earlier, which is that there seems to be a presumption of suspicion towards other black people that would operate, because the way that I've kind of come to terms with the idea of blur, because I started in a place where you were, really, or I guess where you still are, where I kind of came to peace with it was, okay, so if I'm a black kid and I grew up in a suburb in Wisconsin, and of the black kids that I know, I'm one of the few people that are into this shit locally, because a lot of these people grew up before the internet and social media.
Correct.
Did not have a gathering hub for blackness and nerdness in the same place. So I become a nerd and I'm hanging out with these white kids. Okay, but I'm not like these white kids.
Correct.
Okay, when I see the Black Power Ranger, I root for the Black Power Ranger. I thought Panther was black. I thought Destro was black. Now, I didn't have anybody to bounce that shit off of because it was no like black nerd meetup group. So all of a sudden I'm referring to myself as a blur and I'm actively seeking out and creating spaces for other black people to come into under the banner of blur, black nerds, specifically for us.
Right.
And yet other black people that don't come from my upbringing will then turn around and be like, you think you special, you think you different. Well, I put that out there for us to come together.
Correct.
So how am I special or different or better than when I'm actively saying I will not let go of my blackness and I'm also a nerd? I might be in this nerd space, but don't get it twisted, I'm still black, I'm still a nigga. You see what I'm saying? But yet that's the impetus that I'm talking about, that it's a sickness within our own people where we look at each other and immediately go, I'm suspicious of you. You know, and it's specifically because the fear that they would do it to us first. So I have to do it to you. Let me go ahead and start calling you out and saying you're the real anti-black person. You're the real person that's afraid of me. You don't identify with your people. That's why you want to say this blur shit. You just want to be around white people. And we throw that out before we even necessarily know that that's true or can confirm it. You know, I like, at least in my experience, like, I'm, this is not a defense saying that no black nerds are like this, but it's definitely not the majority. The people that we know, way too many people that refer themselves as blurs. We know, we work with them, we've talked to them. Mm-hmm. We know for a fact that that's not the majority.
Correct.
But yet that word comes up and you immediately tighten up. That's how people do with black brunch. That's how people do with trap yoga. That's how people do a Sophista Ratchet whatever meeting. It's, I don't trust that group of black people over there.
And my thing is like, I gotta say, I'm not suspicious of you. It's just the fact that I see how people use the word, and I'm like, okay, you're a problem the way you use the word, and I don't like the way that you use the word.
But you are being suspicious of them, because you're not saying it's the way that they use the word toward me or whatever. You're saying the fact that they're using the word at all to refer to themselves makes you feel like they are a certain type of person, a certain type of black person that you would not want to be associated with.
No, it's not the fact that you use the word. The word itself, how can I say, the word itself is not a problem. Like I said, it's just the context in which people have used the word has turned me off towards the word. Not the word itself, just...
Right, but we know people call themselves that.
Correct.
So, you can't... I don't know how you can divorce the two. Like, if you're turned off by the word and people call themselves that, then you're turned off by the fact that they're calling themselves that. Like, you're still harboring some resentment towards them because they're using the word. Like, I don't know how it's possible that you can't... I don't know how you can parse that, I guess. I just don't understand. Because if I say I'm a blur and the first thing in your mind is this horrible history of this word, then yeah, that's not the same way you would treat me if I said, I'm a black guy who likes comics. Like, is like, how is that so much different from I'm a blur and I like comics? You know what I mean? To me, it's not that different, but you know, to you, it is.
Yeah, and I think for me, how can I say it? I think for me, and I think the root of it is not the word itself. It's just, like I said, I've just seen people on social media, and when I think of the word, I'm more associated with them. The group as a whole is a totally different thing. Like you said, the average blur that you meet is not like that. They are the furthest thing from that. They be like, look, I'm black and I'm here, and you know, I don't have no problem with blackness. And most black people that are nerds learn from other black people. They normally didn't get the shit from white people.
Yeah, I'll just say this, that suspicion is what I'm talking about. That is an example of it, and we all kind of harbor it in different areas. You know, I don't think you're any exception to that. I'm trying to get rid of it because I think it's unproductive, and I think it's fucked up that we do it to each other. Just like, if I would never call myself this, but if it became a term of like broadcaster, you're black and a podcaster, black. Like, if that was a fucking thing, I wouldn't run from it either. Well, like, I don't care. Like, it's like me, Rod, as an individual, still me, whether you put this label on me or not. And specifically with like blurred and stuff, it's just interesting because it doesn't matter how many people you know that are cool, that call themselves blurs and don't have a problem or hang up about it. It doesn't even matter because we seize on the negative. We seize on the people that fucked it up. And so we'll always remember the people that called themselves blurred, that did or said the fucked up thing.
Right.
But we'll never say, oh, Fanbros called themselves blurs and I love them. We'll never
Agreed.
Say that.
Yes.
Which is fucked up though, because to me it's like it's kind of the same way we do, like people do a lot of anti-black shit where, oh, you're the exception, you're the good one. No, I'm not the good one, I'm just a normal nigga like the rest of these niggas, but you decided that I must be good because they're bad, I must be exceptional because you need to still validate not liking the rest of them, you know. And I think that's where it comes from to a certain extent. The same way that I feel like people got to get over when they're black and they got, I got picked on by black kids, and that's why I grew up and became, you know, anti-black and got a white spouse and I talk shit and I go, why didn't you get over that? Why didn't you get over that? You're fucking 40. There's no more excuses. Why haven't you gotten over that? That is not the experience of life for you. You are now too old to have not taken control of the emotions you had when you were a child. You're too old. I cannot excuse it.
Yeah.
Well, I feel that way the opposite too though. There's people that harbor resentment towards like those nerdy black kids that they thought, those kids think they're better than us. Well, now we're old, you know. I can't live in that world anymore. Like, if you're not currently doing those kind of things, I don't have a fucking problem with you. You know, like, I have to let it go, because if not, it's just anger I have, you know?
And also, put it like this, and also, because for me, when it comes to nerd and nerdom, A, you know, I never considered myself a nerd, mm-hmm. and B, it was one of those things that I didn't embrace until I was an adult. So I'm dealing with adults, you know, that have been in this world a whole hell of a lot longer than me. So, you know, in my mind, I'm like, well, you're using this as in a negative way, and you're using this to beat other black people, and I don't understand.
Yeah, but you're using it in a negative way and to beat other black people when you say that it's a negative thing and that black people that go under that moniker are bad. You know what I'm saying? Like,
not all of them, no.
But not even most of them, right?
Not even most of them.
But you still associated with something negative.
Correct.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You know that it's not actually that way, and yet you can't get over the hurdle. And I'm just, this is the same thing a lot of us go through. This is not, you're not alone in this, but I feel like it's a trick. It just keeps us fucked up towards each other. It just keeps that going. That energy is perpetual. I don't see how that's any different than going, when I see people say they doing brunch and wild black, I basically go, these fucking brunch black people, they, you know, I had a couple of them that I don't like, so fuck all of them, basically. You know, when I hear that, I don't mind going to brunch, I don't mind being black, but if you say brunch and wild black, all of a sudden I'm mad. You know, like, I think that energy is persistent in all of us. You don't mind nerds, you don't mind black people, but you say blurred, all of a sudden it's, what the fuck is wrong with you? I think that shit is counterproductive. That's my belief.
Okay, I understand that, and I think for me, I gotta say it, even the word, and you know, and I've came a long way on the word feminist, mm-hmm. and feminism, because same thing with that, it was such a negative word, and they are black feminists, and you know, but like I said years ago, even on this mic, when I hear that word, I always associate it with white women, you know, before mm-hmm. I started learning the history and finding out about it and shit like that, and it kind of changed my perspective of the word and the meaning of the word and the root and the foundation of it and what it really represents. And also, I think it's when it comes to feminism, and I guess you can, similar to blurred, it's one of those things where it's a trick to continue to divide.
First of all, what do you mean it's a trick to continue to divide? Feminism is dividing people?
A lot of people say feminism is dividing people as a trick to get people that are actually feminists
to not call themselves feminists. Right. Okay, yes, I agree. Well, I feel, you already know, we talked about it on the show ad nauseum, I feel the same way about the term feminist. I don't think there's anything wrong with calling yourself feminist, being mm-hmm. a feminist. I don't think there's anything wrong with men being feminist. I don't think there's anything wrong with men declaring themselves feminist if they put in the work. I think what people do is they like to cherry pick the men that are fucked up that call themselves feminist.
Correct.
Barack Obama's a feminist, right? But we try to make it so that it's like the only time a man should be called a feminist is if a woman is saying it about him. Okay, cool. We can go. I mean, it's not, I take it or leave it. The title does mean no good or no bad. But the point is, we are making it a shameful thing so that if a man were to be, like, I'm going to call myself a feminist, I'm going to live up to these feminist ideals, I'm going to make sure the things I'm doing and saying there can be some accountability to what is coming out of my mouth, we will then admonish that person or hope that they fuck up so we can be like, see, all male feminists are blank, right? It's kind of the blurred thing. When FanCon fucked up, it was these goddamn blurbs, right? But WakandaCon went off this weekend, there was some other blurred event that mm-hmm. that happened, all kinds of blurred shit been happening since then.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody even that weekend, that fucking we Comic-Con thing, no, that was not a, oh, look at blurs coming together to make 4 or 5 good events in the wake of a failed event. No, the blur title sticks with FanCon. The rest of these niggas is different. the good shit we just ignore. I think it's kind of whack. And so and same thing with feminism and shit too. Somebody fucks up under the label of feminist, it's these goddamn feminists. Somebody does something good, and that doesn't really count. That's an individual accolade for that one person at one time.
Right.
And all of it kind of keeps us from claiming these labels or from promoting these causes, because that's why they don't want you to claim the label, so you won't promote the cause. Hey, if we make everybody ashamed to say that they're a feminist because they don't want to be, you know, either held accountable, or they don't want to be judged, or they don't want to be ostracized or have to fight about it, well, then successfully we've made a whole lot of people stop using that word.
Correct. And I can truly say I was one of those people. But when it comes to when it comes to being a feminist, it's all individual. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you know, it's a quote unquote collective group, but it's all individual, because you have some people that know more about the history than others. You have some people that go, I'm a feminist, but I'm not going to argue with you about it. And then you have some people, they bang and bacon every day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people, there's a ton of complicated things about that. People brand mm-hmm. things, you know, a lot of times brands become the forefront of things, such as, you know, people branded the word blurred, so then the actions of those people become associated with blurredom, and so anything those people do that's fucked up, it becomes, that's what blurs do. You know, it's like, if Black Girl Nerds fuck something up, if Blurs Online fuck something up, if what, then it becomes, these goddamn Black nerds, look what they do, right? As opposed to, there's millions of people that are Black and nerd, and they don't fuck with anybody. They just do their thing and have fun. Same thing with feminists. There's millions of people that are feminists, if not billions, but yet it's the ones who fuck up that we go, now see, this is what's wrong with feminism, because so-and-so is transphobic, or so-and-so, now that now goes to all of feminism, not that one person,
right?
You know, and we do that with Blackness, whether with this brunch shit or with the ratchet shit or whatever, and it's always this kind of weird needless energy in the air. Now that being said, I'm not discounting the fact that for most of us, the feeling we get when we first encounter somebody or we first become aware of somebody is the feeling that sticks with us the longest.
Agreed.
So it's like, if I remember when I was on college on campus, there was a woman who was I think she was an AKA or something. They had a tree on campus that was like a sitting space just for them. Now, I couldn't have known this. I'm a freshman, and I've never known a goddamn thing about a fraternity sorority my whole life. Yeah. I never even watched that Spike Lee movie.
Oh, School Days?
Yeah, I never even seen it. So I'm sitting there chilling, like reading or something. She came up and was extremely rude and nasty to me and cursing at me, and people had to hold her back. And I'm like, what's happening? Like, this suddenly this Black woman is aggressive and wants to like physically assault me. I haven't done a thing to her, right? Now later on I would find out, like, oh, this is a specific thing for this sorority, this fraternity or whatever, almost on some gang shit or whatever. But like, I was like, okay, well, she could have just came over and said that, and the impression I would have gotten would have been totally different. She would have said, hey, did you know you can't sit there because blah blah blah. I'll be like, I actually did not know that. Let me get my shit and move. I did not mean any offense. I apologize. You know, it could have been resolved like that. Instead, she came over and was like, nigga, you gonna get the fuck out of my chair. And people like, you know, and so now when I walk by that spot, I always feel some resentment about that interaction we had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would never sit there out of respect anyway, you know, and then not because I necessarily respect their fraternity, sorority. I just don't want to cause any level of harm to something I don't really care that much about one way or the other. You know, it's just a chair to me. So all that to say, like, I recognize the idea that an encounter with somebody or the way you hear a word could taint how you believe something.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, I'm willing to bet the way that you got introduced to blur is not because somebody who called himself a blur was acting messed up towards you. What I'm willing to bet is you heard other Black people talking about what blurs mean to them, saying that they mean something bad, and so we start associating shit with it's bad. If the first the way I got introduced to the term blurred was someone telling me how fucked up blurs were, so I started going, well, yeah, it must be fucked up. I didn't verify, I didn't check, I didn't go, mm-hmm. who calls himself this, let me go check these spaces out. you know. And then event, you know, once I realized that I had that, I'll check myself. The same thing happens with the word feminist.
Agreed.
People tell you, and sometimes it's the most fucked up people that are, it's Tariq Nasheed telling you how bad feminism is, and then you go, well, feminists are bad, they're just as bad as anything else. And it's like, well, why did you believe that? Who wanted you to believe that? Who told you that? Who taught you that? You know, it's that kind of thing. And I think we don't even examine it. We just, it becomes a negative thing. It's a negative connotation. It doesn't matter after that, you know. Now, we both grew up in the same area. We would not call ourselves blurs because we really had no need to.
Right, and we didn't grow up around that word.
Not just the word, we grew up around black people. There's no need
correct,
for
correct.
Us to use
and
it.
And there was no separation. You were black and you happen to be a nerd, you were black and you happen to be whatever the fuck you are.
Right.
And I was cool with that.
Right. So, but I'm saying that's a level of privilege to itself within blackness.
We have the privilege of never
needing to put out a bat signal to black people like, hey guys, I like anime. Anybody want to talk about it? And I don't want to talk about it with white people. Hey, can anybody? I've never had to do that.
Mm-mm.
You know, even to this day, when I see people competing for panels on cons and shit, I mean, good for them, but they grew up way different than me. Like, I don't need to be on a fucking panel about blackness and diversity and shit. It's cool if they call us and invite us, but I ain't never submitted shit. Cause I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I feel solidified in my blackness 100%. No punch has ever landed on me that made me feel like, oh, should I check myself? Am I really black enough, you know?
I've never had that struggle. Yes,
right, but some of these people have.
Correct.
People that listen to our show, you know, people that
had their blackness challenged.
Yeah, that find this oasis. You know, one of the things people like about us is that you can come here and you don't have to worry about us being like, if you this type of black person, mm-hmm. you not black. Mm-hmm. You know,
baby, you black. If you claim you black, you black.
Right. Like, even the brand new black people, that wasn't black.
I was like, brand new, is there a new word I didn't know about?
Nah, you know what I mean.
I do.
Even the people that come lately to blackness, it's right. Like, I'm glad you're here. Let's
I'm glad, and that's how
I'm not gonna push you back out because it makes me feel superior to you to be like, oh, so now after somebody did something racist, you realize you black. Like, you know what, dog? I feel you. It's fucked up. It was a horrible wake up call for all of us. Come on. I might have got mine at preschool. You might have got yours at 28. Nigga, we niggas. Come on.
You know, and that's the way that I feel too. It don't matter whenever you come into your blackness.
Unless they call themselves a blur. then it matters.
No, it does not.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to lie. Everybody heard your own words on the show, Karen. We know the truth.
Well, I need, y'all, I'm a look within myself. Nobody's perfect. Don't cancel me, y'all. Don't blurs. Don't write in and cancel me.
Nah, but your honesty is what is needed though, because we've all had that feeling. I know I have. You know?
Yeah.
A lot of black people didn't grow up saying nigga. There's a lot of black people that judge me because I say it too much in their eyes.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. But like I said, I had the fortune of growing up black, in a black area solidified. I've never been like, well, I guess I should change if it made another black person feel. I'm like, oh, no. I talk like this.
Yeah.
You just have to deal with it.
You got to deal. Yeah. Because, like, the word nigga, you know, among blackness, it's never been bothered me. I've been called a nigga. You know, I've called other people's niggas. And I'm comfortable in that word and with that phrase.
Right. But, anyway, that wasn't my point. My point was just that, a lot of people are doing their best to kind of unite under this banner. And
yeah.
I think we do ourselves a disservice to try to kick people out from it. Especially when people are either learning the ropes or they're reaching out for other like-minded people that are black to commiserate with, because
agreed.
Community means so much. Our podcast wouldn't be shit without community, without people right. seeking community. Without people needing a hub so they can go find a Facebook group or find our page or find us on Twitter or come to our live show and all this shit, it's gonna be all types of people that fuck with us,
right, from all different backgrounds and all different nationalities that has black inside of it, you know. So I completely understand it. And talking about it, I'm going to sit back and just reevaluate how I feel and think about it some more, because, you know, I never really thought of it like that. Like I said, I know it's one of that is when it comes to the blurred word. Yeah, I know that the average black person that calls himself a blur is the furthest from that.
Yeah,
I completely understand that.
Yeah, we got blurs at our live show.
Correct.
You know, we got people that identify as that. The fact that I didn't grow up needing the term, using the term, or caring about the term should not but deter somebody who grew up with that from using it, and especially if they don't harbor anti-blackness. Like,
that's my biggest thing. The anti-blackness, just don't do that.
Right, but I only know that if you open your mouth up and say something anti-black.
Correct.
I'm not going to assume it because you call yourself a blurred. You know, but if, you know, if you say something, then yeah, okay, of course, we can, anybody can get it on that. I don't care what you label yourself as, on the merits of your discussions and your words, we can always have a discussion. But yeah, just this whole, I don't know, it just feels fruitless. It feels like wasted emotional energy.
Agreed.
To just harbor that grudge. And I say that as somebody who initially heard the word blur and had the same fucking response. Like, this, the same way that you say you came to Nerd late and you coming to this, like, I started on that path earlier than you.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the first time I heard blurred, the first time I heard somebody describe it, the first time I really seen people under that banner online, I had this same response. I'm not even joking. It was, are these motherfuckers the kids that grew up thinking they better than me?
Right.
And they grew up away from me, and here they are trying to fucking take nerdness like that special, like I didn't grow up watching the same fucking shit they watch, like I didn't, you know. And I had that feeling, and it took a long time examining it to be like, why do I have that feeling? And that's fucked up. Like, you didn't do nothing to me. Now, is there a chance that I start talking to you and you start saying some shit and I'm like, oh man, you really are one of those cornball ass?
Right.
Yeah, there's a chance. But you know what? There's a chance with people that don't call themselves blurs that the same fucking thing happened.
Agreed.
You know, there's just as good a chance. And I don't want to be those. I don't want to be the person that kicks people in and out of blackness, you know?
No, I don't want to do that either. And the thing for me, like you say, and I didn't really think about it, but that, the truth be told, because we had the privilege to actually grow up in black spaces, for us, I just looked at whatever activity you did, you were just doing it as a normal human being. I didn't associate your blackness to these things.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I would, to this day, I still would not, that's not like feminist for me. I would not use the term blur to refer to myself at all. But it's just, I really did not grow up needing the term. I just didn't. You know, and I can't explain it any better than that. Like, if you would have called yourself a blurred in my neighborhood, it would have been like, probably look around,
joke time.
Not just joke time, but it would have been like, look around, nigga, we all reading these comic books, we all watch the same cartoons, we all play with the same toys. What, why? There's no need to distinguish yourself.
Right.
But if I grew up around a bunch of fucking white kids, I might call myself a blur because I'm not like y'all.
Yeah, you know? I'm not like y'all.
Not the same.
From that perspective, it kind of makes more sense. Like, I have to separate myself to let you know that, yes, I'm still a nerd, but I'm a different type of nerd.
Yeah, it's a reason that I fucking root for Destro, not Cobra Commander, and it's partially because I think he black. You know, like, that's some real shit. But you know, in my neighborhood, it's just a thing we all did. In somebody else's neighborhood, if I'm the only black kid, I'm probably the only one doing that.
Yeah, that's just like me for, and don't ask me why I thought this, and for Superman cartoon.
Nah, it's not just you. You got to say something everybody thought, but go ahead.
Oh, they did. They thought that Lex Luthor was black.
All the black people thought that. Every
that black man person. Was brown and tan, and he was a black man.
Right.
They told me Lex Luthor was white. I was like, bitch, what?
Anybody that saw that cartoon thought he was black. If you, that was black, by the way. If you grew up around white people, though, you probably were the only person that thought he was black.
Oh, okay. I thought that's a tan nigga and him and Superman be going at it. And I was rooting for him.
Yeah, but imagine being the only kid that thought that.
Right.
And then all your white peers are telling you how wrong you are. Right? You gonna grow up with that chip on your shoulder all your life, and now you're holding on to your blackness ferociously by reminding them, like, yo, I'm a fucking blurred, aka I'm black first and a nerd. Right. So I like to, you remember that story we covered a long time ago about the fucking kids in that Ivy League school?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like doing this, it was some type of like stop asking us passive aggressive questions protest. It was like, you know, they had pictures up and the pictures would be stupid shit that white people asked them, like, are you from Africa or you know, just certain shit like that. Well, what nationality are you? What can I touch your hair? You know, stuff like that. And I remember we watched that clip and, you know, a little bit we kind of laughed at it because it's like, damn, these kids really ain't got that many problems. Like, they more worried about a classmate saying some passive aggressive shit to them. That's, they have made it to successfully to that level of problems in their college where they just worried about, like, if the dorm is named after a slave owner. Must be nice. But within that same context of us laughing, I was like, but you fight the fight, you're fighting where you're at.
Agreed.
If I get there and the fight is down to, let's get these slave owners' names off these buildings,
let's do it, bitch.
Well, then let's fucking march. What's the problem? Do y'all agree that the slave owners should be on the thing? No.
Nope. Okay.
Well, then somebody need to say something, and this is what the fuck I want. Do you agree that people should be able to touch my hair for no reason? No. Nope. Okay. So then I have a point, right? Yep. So then you fight that fight that you, like, you might not be fighting for the fucking colored water fountain versus the white water fountain, but you still fighting that fight. And that's good.
It's a different type of fight, but it's still a fight.
Right. And ultimately, it is good. And I'm supportive of it.
Me too.
You know, like, yes, I laughed at this, just the kind of silliness of the imagery at the time. But, you know, I'm 100% dead serious. I support those kids every time. You know, like, to the point where if I saw the thing now, I probably wouldn't even laugh. But at the time, you know, we were like kind of perplexed. It was like some new activist shit. It was.
Right. It was very, you know, different.
It's like we never, but that also, not an experience we had.
Agreed.
We went to a HBCU. We don't know nothing about that.
Agreed.
We were fighting for, can we have girls come over to the dorm?
Right. Like you say, our fight was different, you know, because everybody looked like your black ass, so there was no standing out.
Yeah, I didn't worry about no one touching my hair or asking me some stupid
ass
question.
No, because they knew better.
Right. Well, not even knew better. They black too.
Right. Ain't nothing special about you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm just saying they black too, so it's no, they be asking themselves that question. Can I touch my own hair? Like, it doesn't make sense.
No, it does not.
Anyway, all right, that is a long tangent. But hopefully you get to the bottom of your blurred hate at some point. Self-examination is good.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And it's a self-examination thing, you know, because you're asking questions and I'm telling you truthfully how I feel.
Nah, I appreciate you being honest and not trying to predict where I was going with it, because I think most people get defensive and they won't even let me ask where they're coming from, because I'm really just trying to understand. And I think I do understand because I've been where you are before, and for me personally, I had to push myself away from it. So
right,
I like, one of the things I don't want to exist within me, and it's gonna exist because we grew up in a white supremacist society, I can't, it's gonna be an eternal struggle, but I want to be able to look at other black people with love and not disdain as my first emotion.
Agreed.
You know, I don't want to look at somebody and say, here's this black person that has committed a crime, fuck them forever, I don't care who did, never around me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to see a black person moving to my neighborhood and they wear sagging pants and they play their music loud and I'm sitting around judging them the same way white people judge us when we move into the neighborhood.
Come on.
I recognize not every black person you run into is going to be a quote-unquote good person, a well-meaning person, because I'm black, I get that, but at the same time, it doesn't make us much different from Don Lemon's list of pull your pants up, pick up trash in your neighborhood. Yeah. Well, we then turn around and do it to each other.
And a lot of that comes from respectability politics. And it's a lot of people who claim they don't fall into respectability politics. But you let somebody walk around them with baggy pants and they boxers showing. And for a lot of black people, that's one of the first things that come out their mouths.
Yeah. All right, let's move into some news. TMZ producer says footage of Nicki chasing Safari with a knife. They have video of it.
What? TMZ be on it. They be every motherfucking where.
It said, we have seen the video here at TMZ back in 2014 that shows Nikki chasing Safari with a knife. We should say, we don't know what happened after that. Couples get into it. Sometimes things get hit. There's no reason why you should be chasing someone with a knife, but we don't know if Nikki actually stabbed him with a knife.
Did they, pay the, alarm company? How the fuck do you get this video?
No idea. No idea. Men have better sex with emotionally unstable women, according to, the German survey, a German survey of 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. And women who prefer men who are less agreeable but pay attention to detail. Who's getting the money for these studies?
Right.
They really took the trope of men like crazy pussy and put it to a study. Put the scientific method to something that is anecdotal as fuck.
Come on.
Men whose partner had less emotional stability reported better sexual function. Lower agreeableness of a sexual partner was predictive of better sexual function in women. All right. Well, good luck to everybody. Colorado school district switched to a 4-day week to save money.
That's understandable. But what do you do about parents who work fucking 5 days a week?
Right.
That's the thing, when they get to switching and swapping and rotating these schedules around, you're fucking up parents' schedules. Now, if you had a job that you can go to 4 days a week to match, great. But if you're at this job, you know, a lot of jobs feel like a work week is Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 or 9 to 6 or whatever. And if I have a small child that somebody has to watch them, I cannot leave them alone. Now, that's a motherfucking problem.
Yeah, they anticipate $1 million in savings from these changes.
Yeah, and they probably gonna make money back, because guess what? What are you gonna do with these children that need to be somewhere? You gonna...
Well, the problem came off the heels of a 6 failed attempts by the district to raise additional money through bond elections. So, electorate decided they didn't want to pay what it cost for teachers to teach 5 days a week.
Okay.
So then no offense to these parents, but fuck y'all, get out to the booth and vote then, because if you're not gonna be involved in your kid's life through making sure that there's money to keep the school district open,
right,
then you're gonna be involved in your kid's life on that fucking Friday or whatever it is when you got to stay home or figure something out with babysitting, which is gonna cost probably way more than school.
Right.
The district northeast of Denver metropolitan area serves nearly 18,000 students, includes 12 elementary schools, 4 middle schools, 4 high schools, and 5 charter schools. It is the 98th district in the state approved by the Colorado Department of Education to adopt the shorter schedule. Fiedler estimates the running fewer school buses alone will save about $700,000.
Yeah, the people want to blow off the fucking voting and don't got time, and I'm too tired. Well, the motherfuckers, it was like, not on my taxes. They won, and now you have to reaccommodate.
Students will attend regular classes Tuesday through Friday, and class time will extend by 40 minutes per day.
That right, because I about to say, if you cutting off a day, you're going to extend the school day.
Yep. So, I don't know, man. Joel Osteen is honored by the city of Houston for post-Harvey help. Joel, who had to be basically embarrassing to opening up his church,
right,
is now getting an award. What happened to that mattress dude and that dude that was a rapper that was going around to people's houses and getting them out of their flooded homes?
They don't
count. Are they getting anything?
Mm-mm, they don't count.
In the early stages of the storm's wake, many residents wondered why Lakewood Church was inaccessible to those seeking relief. On the first of several heavy rain days, the church said cited severe flooding for the cause, but people quickly took to social media questioning whether the building next to Southwest Freeway was really impacted by the storm. The day after, Osteen was prepared to help those in need. We have never closed our doors. We will continue to be a distribution center for those in need. We're prepared to house people
once shelters. Until you actually need us again, then we're going to lock you out.
We are prepared to house people once shelters reach capacity. Lakewood will be a value to the community in the aftermath of the storm and helping our fellow citizens rebuild their lives, the church said in a statement.
So basically, you're waiting until everybody else get full and then there's still people over there, basically.
That's what he said. They also released photos showing flooding around the church. The church eventually opened its doors, providing shelter, food, and other essentials to anyone seeking it. So I don't know how he got the award, but I guess, I don't know. That just seems kind of shady. Rapper named Casanova turns himself in on felony charges after alleged attack on a woman in New York City.
Ain't nothing Casanova about that.
I know, right? Him and Romeo ain't never been friends.
Clell.
According to TMZ, a woman named Nia Rucker filed a report against the set tripping rapper. I mean, I guess he was set tripping. Claiming she was attacked by him and an accomplice at Good Stuff Diner in New York.
What a name.
Mm-hmm. Sources say
I wonder if there's good stuff on the menu.
I don't know. Casanova says, sources say Casanova thought Rucker was filming him in the restaurant, so he attacked her in an attempt to stop the recording and obtain the phone. However, Rucker told Pix 11 that she was just recording her meal for Instagram Live. Wow. That means she got choked on Instagram Live. The incident left her with a broken jaw, a loose tooth, and facial lacerations. They say one of the men also put her in a sleeper hold during the altercation. As a result, officials issued a warrant for the rapper's arrest, which prompted his decision to surrender. Wow. What the fuck, man?
You'd have never done that to another man.
I won't say that, but even
put like this, you'd have thought twice. You wouldn't have, you put like this. Not to say you wouldn't have got mad, not to say they wouldn't have attacked him, but they wouldn't have done it as easily.
Sure. I have no dog in this fight. You can have that one. I don't know what this crazy nigga would do, because I never heard of him to this day.
Correct.
Just right now, this second. What I was going to say is this whole thing about people filming folks in public and shit, and you're a celebrity, and so you can take their phone and throw it on a roof or do whatever. That shit is wild to me. I mean, it's wild enough that we feel entitled to be able to film people and shit. It's even more wild that you feel that you can presume that that's what was happening, and you can just do whatever you want to this person. That attack sounds violent as fuck.
Right. And it sounds like some shit he's done in the past.
Yeah, even if he was, even if he was doing that shit, you know what I mean, even if she was filming him, why would it then escalate to violence? Even if she was, which she probably wasn't.
Mm-mm.
But even if she was, what the fuck? Ridiculous, man. Anyway, under the jail. A rogue goat may have helped dozens of farm animals escape.
I guess he was bad to the bone.
I was gonna say, she is probably Rosa Parks. Dozens of goats and sheep brought for slaughter escaped from a New Jersey livestock auction house Wednesday night, and the facility's manager believes another goat who had bolted to freedom more than a year ago helped them make their getaway.
Duh!
Mm-hmm.
Harriet Tubman of the goats.
Mm-hmm.
Let everybody free. Mm-hmm. Taking them up to Canada.
And I could have freed 1,000 more goats if they knew they were slaves.
Come on. They don't fuck around and come back, and your big animal's gonna be gone. All your horses and shit, your cows, all them bitches gonna be gone.
The animals escaped through an unsecured gate at the Hackettstown Livestock Auction House around 9:30 p.m. It took about an hour for police and locals to herd about 60 of the livestock back to their pens with a rope and cracked corn before
60. Woo!
Before police resecured the gate with a piece of rope.
Let us free. But you know who you didn't get? The ringleader.
Auction house manager Boe Posma said those were the only animals who had escaped, but Tenen, who said that between 10 and 20 more were believed to still be on the loose.
And they ain't never coming back. Mm. They know freedom now.
Locals jokingly point the finger at another goat named Fred that escaped the same auction house more than a year ago. Yeah.
Fred was like, fuck y'all.
Fred Hampton. Yeah, I mean, Fred, that's his slave name. So, you know.
Who knows what he calls himself now?
Mm-hmm. Now he's got their freedoms. They escaped from the same auction market more than a year ago, sporadically pops up around the town. In fact, cops received reports that Fred was in the area a couple hours before the escape. Got spotted.
They were hitting up the hardware stores and shit. Mm-hmm. This was a planned getaway.
On Thursday afternoon, after the escape, Fred showed up. Fred showed up at the faculty and headbutted the gate, holding newly corralled animals multiple times in an apparent effort to let them back out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all got a new shipment?
That caused the man, postman to ship them away. But the sighting made him suspect Fred was also behind Wednesday night's escape. It was him, postman declared. I think he's the culprit. He must have banged the fence and let him out last night. I'm almost positive. He must have put a lot of force into that. The auction house holds sales every Tuesday, and this herd was purchased by one owner who hadn't picked them up yet due to his broken down truck. People tend to rally for escapees, Mayor Maria DiGiovanni said. DiGiovanni said, I kind of like when they break free, but I see both sides. It's a business. They always said that about when the black people escape too. It's a business. I see both sides. Well, pick a side, Mayor Maria DiGiovanni. Do you want to pick the right side or the wrong side? The side of freedom or the side of the oppressor? I know it's all the Jamaican people is very conflicted about this. Like, but who's going to carry them goats if y'all let them go? I don't know.
I'm sorry.
There could have been accidents. People could have crashed into them. We don't know what the mind of a sheep or a goat or what they'll do. Because
they're trying to be free.
They inferior. Like the black mind is inferior to the white one. Is that what you're trying to say?
You trying to say they're just some normally as animals?
The escape came less than a week after 100 goats went on the lam in Idaho, munching their way through a suburban Boise, Idaho neighborhood in an incident dubbed the Goatapalooza 2018. The animals later wrangled onto a truck by the firm We Rent Goats, which appeared to have accidentally set the animals free. There's no known connection between Hackensack and Boise incidents.
Mm-mm-mm. We Rent Goats.
Yep. Those poor goats is trying to get their freedom, trying to get to the promised land.
Come on.
All right, let me go to the next session real quick. We're at the break. Goats' lives matters, y'all.
I clear they do, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Give them free.
Give us free. I'm a star. Well, I can't wait for them to make a movie about this. 12 years a goat.
Yes! 12 years a goat curry.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on to other things. Let's see. What do we have? All right, let's do this.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We assign different point scores of 0 to 100, intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. Yay. All right, let's see who's fucking with us now. Denny's apologizes after a group of black customers refused service.
Why do black people even go to Denny's?
First of all, shouldn't you be thanking Denny's for keeping you from eating their food? Second of all, I like that Denny said hold my beer, because these other restaurants been getting a little too frisky with their racism.
Come on.
Starting to broach onto our territory, okay? We were the first nigger-free environment around here.
Come on.
And now Starbucks trying to call the police? Mm-mm. No, we do that. It was a Florida's Denny's, by the way.
Oh, Florida.
Elijah Henderson Jr. told News 4 Jacksonville that he visited the Lake City Denny's with a group of about 25 members of his church and was immediately told by an employee that they would not be able to accommodate them. Jesus.
His was one up the street from us. We never went to it. That bitch went out of business.
Yep. I went in there one time because I had never had Denny's before in my life.
Oh, you haven't?
Mm-mm. Okay. Until that day. It was the worst food I've ever had in my life. It tastes like racism.
It's not good.
Like, I ate it and I said, oh, they don't like niggas. Like, I could just tell. The pancakes taste like they microwaved them. I don't know what the fuck is going on in that place. It's horrible. It's called
Grand Slam. $1, $2, $3 meals, whatever it is.
Well, I Grand Slammed my sandwich on the floor and got out of there. I said, I'll never eat it again. I know you did. Salty ass, everything. Elijah Henderson Jr. said he visited, da da da. Henderson said that there were plenty of other groups in the restaurant and that he thought his group was being discriminated against. Is it the color of my skin? That's where I left it at. Is that a problem? Because everyone else was eating and drinking and she was like, I'm not going to be able to accommodate you all. Henderson said the employee claimed that there was only one cashier and one cook working at the time. The employee no longer works at Denny's. Mm-hmm. Well, was that because they got fired or just turnover?
Right. Because places like that, people don't stay long anyway. You're paying them $1.75 an hour.
You know, my guess is they quit.
Correct.
But you know, I think they quit. I think they quit because they said, wait a minute. Now, when I took this job at Denny's, you did not tell me there would be niggers coming here. I am offended and I'm out. I would never work in this place again. How dare you, sir?
You told me this place is going to be cluttered free.
I thought this is the white man's the white man's Denny's, okay? You remember me during the job interview and how that conversation went before I got hired?
But my mouth to God's ears, I really hate those nigger rats. And anyone else, really, that doesn't have pure white Aryan blood running through their veins.
I'm happy to be talking to a true white American.
God bless white America.
And Denny's. there was another family that came in right after me and she was like, you guys go ahead, have a seat, I'll be with you momentarily. They are wrong for how they treated us. Point blank, I don't care what you look like, where you come from, I just want equality. Denny's corporate office said in a statement the incident was unacceptable. We were shocked by the unacceptable experience our guests received.
Were you were you really? You got sued years ago. Were mm-hmm. you really?
It's unacceptable. Those niggas made it in the door. I don't know what's going on.
I can't believe this bullshit.
Service has, y'all let them park. Service has definitely gone down the tat. Okay. So he said, they said the incident was unacceptable. They're shocked. We simply do not tolerate discrimination of any kind in our restaurants. Henderson also said that Denny's chief operating officer called him to personally apologize. He was like, well, I work with the diversity department. Well, you guys have to do a little more work because I'm not working, I said. Because it's not working, I said. What you doing may be working at corporate, but when it drizzles down and comes to the franchise, it is not working.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Well, the diversity department is all white.
0 to 100.
Oh, they're on that permanent 100 list. Dennis, when have we ever covered this good news about Dennis?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep,
I mean, maybe that's just me, but every time we talked about them, it's something fucked up.
Yeah, I agree with you.
They've never been like, Dennis gave $100,000 to Black Lives Matter. I don't never hear that. So, no, they're on that list 100.
Pastor John Gray compares photo op with Trump to a meeting with Jesus. Pastor John Gray is one of the black pastors who embarrassed himself by participating in a bizarre photo op with President Donald Trump. Gray oddly sat by while Obama was insulted and Trump was called the most pro-black president, which has resulted in backlash. Over a week later, Gray, who led 45 people in prayer at the press conference, is now comparing his foolishness of Trump to a meeting with Jesus.
That man's the furthest thing from him.
We don't hate at real John Gray. We love him, McQueen wrote on his Instagram. Because Pastor Keith McQueen, the founder of Powerhouse Church in Indianapolis, responded to another pastor defending Gray, claiming that people hated the mega church owner. However, we can't respect his decision to condone the behavior of an egotistical, misogynistic, narcissistic clown that has turned our country into a circus with his quarrelsome and divisive rants. He has affirmed the behavior of this man by sitting at the table to discuss, in quotes, prison reform and urban revitalization with a man that has never cared for urban populations and incites hatred towards minorities that are targeted and often locked up unjustly.
Right.
You could have said that about Van Jones. Shit, Omarosa. That should apply to a lot of people. He continued, we disagree with him on behalf of young black men, women, Mexican immigrants, and children, LGBT people, and citizens that prefer our government that isn't illegally influenced by Russian leaders. Well, I'll be damned.
Come on.
That's interesting, too, because he threw that LGBT in there. And that's another pastor. Come on, Pastor Keith McQueen. So, yeah. Well, Pastor Gray decided to respond and actually compared this meeting to Trump with going meeting Jesus. Sitting at a table is neither affirming, endorsing, agreeing, or aligning. If so, Jesus certainly couldn't have sat with the Zacchaeus or been in the company of lepers. High priest couldn't go near lepers, he commented under the post. Jesus made clear that he came eating and drinking and was a friend to sinners, tax collectors, and wine bibbers. Was he aligning or affirming their behavior? Of course not. And an initial conversation doesn't portend for what could be produced in the future. I could never presume to know your calling or assignment since we don't know each other. He went on. But scripture does outline for us what believers should do if they have a disagreement. It starts with a one-on-one, then get two or three witnesses, and then take it before the church. None of that happened before you posted about a fellow believer who had everything to lose and nothing to gain by being obedient to the God who sent me.
Mm-mm.
God sent him, Karen. Now, how can y'all say that God didn't tell him? Do y'all believe or not? Y'all believe God got all these superpowers and he talks to people. But when somebody say God told him to do some stupid shit, everybody be like, God wouldn't do that. How do you know?
That nigga dumb.
So God didn't tell him to do this. You going on record as saying you know better than him what God told him to do. Is that what I'm hearing right now? That's a very interesting thing to do. But I'm the atheist, y'all. Okay. That I didn't voice the accumulated pain of 400 years of real brokenness in our black and brown communities is something I wish I could do. Some moments call for a level of wisdom that my emotions would rather do away with. Come, let us reason together. Perhaps next time, try to reach out to me first and dialogue before utilizing your platform to hit your brother in Christ. I don't mind people who don't believe what I believe saying whatever they want. What I wasn't prepared for was friendly fire. He kept going.
Lord, just like a don't know when to be quiet. Was this a 3-hour sermon?
The God who sent me. So Gray is taking responsibility for showing up to the meet with a president who refused to meet with the NAACP and Reverend Al Sharpton. Oh wait, he didn't say that. Okay. McQueen apparently thought so too. The difference between Jesus and you sitting with Donald Trump is that Jesus sat with the oppressed and not the oppressor. Jesus confronted the political figures of his day. The process of addressing disagreements between leaders is a process between believers and not preachers to politicians. The book of Jude speaks of those that are divisive and full of dissent and says have nothing to do with them. Pastor John Gray needs to stop responding and talking to people who follow his cult will not care. Just like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why would you even address this? Like, can't you just make the money you was making without? I mean, if they supported you after the Trump shit, they gonna go to your church no matter what you do.
No matter what.
Like, if you show up and attendance is the same, like, gee, woo, you got them. Well, you got some suckers.
Yeah, you do.
Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
100.
I give it 100 as well. He said he was playing that. He said, gee. Jesus met with lepers. How is that the same as meeting with Donald Trump?
That's not the same. This nigga's not even Christian. What the fuck are we talking about here?
Jesus would meet with people that needed help. Trump don't need your help, baby. Oh, man. People are ridiculous.
Yes, they are.
A racist man calls a pregnant black woman the N-word, and the video got him fired from a medical center.
Good.
He said, "You're a nigger. Shut up."
Good.
Oh, that old classic.
Did Twitter CSI find him?
I hate those nigger rats. On Saturday, a Flowood, Mississippi man went on a racist rant against a donut shop employee that was caught on video, and then kind of ended up costing him his job. My favorite song, a jam, a bop, even the song of the summer.
Come on,
I like Moo is a jam, but it's not been. Yeah, I was live. I told y'all that's my favorite song. It's not even something off of the Everything Is Love album. My favorite bop has been white people losing their jobs after getting caught on these cameras saying something stupid.
I know. And if I said, what jam you gonna pick the part of this time?
Well, we'll get there. Mississippi Baptist Medical Center fired radiologist Kyle Thomas and distanced itself from the employee after the video of Thomas calling
radiologist. So you went just some nobody in there.
Mm-hmm. Video of Thomas calling a pregnant woman the N-word repeatedly went viral. Keandrea Wardlaw said Thomas entered the Jacksonville Donut Palace shop and called her a nigger four times because he was apparently upset over service. Well, I tell you, boy, they get a little upset over service. You just don't know what's gonna come out their mouth. I've been upset over service before. Never went to racial slurs.
Never.
In the video, Wardlaw sounds off on Thomas saying, I hope you don't deal with children. And he fired back a nasty retort saying, shut your fucking mouth. Wardlaw then said, who are you talking to? Thomas said, you're a child. Shut up. The two continued to feud, and Wardlaw then shot back, you're a son of a bitch. That's what you are. You don't speak to me that way. And that's when Thomas went off the rails. You're a nigger. Shut up. That's when Wardlaw shouted back, oh, I'm a nigga, now I'm a nigga, and you're a bitch. And then Thomas did just that, she said, say it again. And Thomas did just that and hurled the slur four more times before exiting the store. Yeah, I saw this video. He's like, nigger, nigger, nigger. Like, every time she said, say it again, nigger. It sounded like a call and response.
Yeah!
Because he couldn't get good service, so everybody got to be niggers. And then she got, she went and got his tag too from his car.
I hope you don't deal with children.
You do have something in the bag.
Shut your mouth.
Who are you talking to?
Oh, just froze.
I will throw
you're
something.
A child. Shut up.
You're a bitch. That's what you are. You don't speak to me that way.
Whoa. I will be back talking to
you. I don't care. You don't.
You say I will. I think he said I will be back to fuck your mother. Is that what he said?
Who knows?
Sound like he said I will be back
ain't
to fuck your mother.
Uniform
me that way. Oh, I'm a. Oh, now I'm a, and you're a. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again.
Yeah, because like I said, he didn't think there'll be no consequences behind that. He probably deals with black people.
Mm-hmm. Then she went out to his car, got his tags.
Right.
And I said, and that's why we know his name. At the video showing him went viral, Thomas took to Facebook to apologize. Thomas wrote online, I regret every word. There's no excuse to say these horrible things.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
I was upset about another issue and it spilled over into this. I can't apologize enough.
Mm-mm. Don't believe you.
But he was correct.
And don't care.
He was correct though, Karen. He couldn't apologize enough. Because they got after his ass. So yeah, Mississippi Baptist Medical Center said although Thomas was off the job, his actions, language, and behavior doesn't represent the organization's
values. And he was in uniform. Mm-hmm. He was in his scrubs.
He has since returned to the donut shop to apologize to her boss, but hasn't apologized to her. Classic white behavior. Shout out to Imani Gandy having to deal with that shit.
Right.
She said she'd accept an apology if Thomas gave her one. Well, she's nice. She's very nice for that. I would understand if she didn't want to. But yeah, he ended up losing his job.
Which is probably a good paying job, a radiologist. You ain't getting paid no pennies.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so he ended up getting fired behind that shit. So yeah, I don't know what song I would play. Probably this one.
It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication lead to complication. My emancipation don't fit your equation. I was on the humble, you on every station. Someone play young love like she done. But remember not to game the one of the sun. Everything you did has already been done. I know all the tricks from bricks to kingdom. My kingdom, major kingdom, one run. To understand El Boogie,
not violent.
But if a thing tests me, run to me gun. Can't take a threat to
my newborn son.
Help in this way since
creation.
A groupie call you far from
temptation.
Now you on ball over separation. Tarnish my image in the conversation. Who you gonna scrimmage like you the champion? You might win some, but you just lost one.
You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one.
You might win some, but you just lost one.
You might win some, but you just lost one. Yeah, he might win some, but he just lost one job. Cause nigga, that was stupid.
Yeah, you not sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You sorry cause your job was like, oh, we heard that you fell out with the lady down the street.
Yeah, you sorry you got caught.
Right.
That's ridiculous. Alright, last one. Police confronted over alleged bait truck of Nike shoes left in a black Chicago community.
Police. Say that again.
Oh wait, do you say 0 to 100 on the last one?
Oh, 100.
100 is male. Police confronted over alleged bait truck of Nike shoes left in black Chicago community.
A bait truck.
Bait.
B-A-I-E. Oh, bait truck. Oh.
They okay. Left a truck full of Nikes in the community, unguarded, unsecured, hoping that black people would walk by and steal them, and then they would arrest them.
How is this legal?
Yeah, it's not considered entrapment. It's just a way to get kids in the damn prison system or, you know, whatever. And I think it's racist because they're not putting Wranglers in the white neighborhoods, okay?
They ain't putting Lululemons.
Right. Y'all don't take Lululemons and put them in the suburbs of Chicago. Nah, y'all take Nikes and put them in the hood and be like, I can't believe kids took a box of Nikes. Let's put them in the fucking prison system. Y'all dirty, man. A man tells officers in an online video the incident published Thursday. Y'all see kids playing ball and you pull a fucking Nike truck into the ghetto. Charles McKenzie, an anti-crime activist who put the video on Facebook, told Vox that the truck appeared next to a basketball court frequented by young people in the largest black neighborhood in the south side of Chicago. And while both local and federal agencies conduct such bait operations, the site reported, neither Chicago police nor the FBI offer comment on the truck. Authorities use everything from fake drugs and modified cars to GPS-affixed packages and bikes to weed out thieves nationwide. Theft of in-transit property known as cargo theft caused nearly $27 million in losses in 2016, according to FBI data. But some community members perceived an alleged bait truck left in an impoverished neighborhood near basketball court as an obvious attempt to target black youth as racially lopsided arrests unfold nationwide.
Right.
The police parked trucks with boxes of Nike shoes in front of kids lifted up, McKenzie, the activist, said on Facebook. And when people hop in the truck, the police hop out on them. McKenzie founded Guys Gorillas, a group promoting job assistance and alternatives to violence in Chicago. His video has over 630,000 views on Facebook. It later picked up by another 290,000 views on WorldStar. In another video, YouTuber Martin G. Johnson allegedly depicts the bait truck traveling between locations with plains clothes, FBI looking type guys. Once parked, he films community members telling authorities to remove the vehicle from their neighborhood.
Right, because they know what it is now, so they get this shit the fuck out of here. Gone.
Kids shouldn't be breaking back into trucks, police officer responds. After the confrontation, however, the white truck is driven away. That's what advocacy looks like, one man said. Good job, people.
Right, because I'm going to stand here and I'm going to tell them to stay the fuck away from it. That's what I'm going to do. So it's counterproductive to what you're doing.
shout out to the black people that took it upon themselves to warn the neighborhood. And because honestly, man, listen, no offense, but somebody stealing some fucking Nikes out the back of a truck is a harmless crime. And I know that people feel a certain way about all that shit because of what we've been taught about capitalism and all this shit, whatever. That shit is a harmless fucking crime. Nobody actually got hurt. You know, like, that's not the kind of crime I'll need the police fucking investigating. Who would walk up to a fucking pot of gold and take a coin? That's not it. And the fact that ultimately this kind of shit is gonna lead to the arrest of probably a bunch of black kids.
Right. That's who you're gonna get is kids.
Well, they're targeting kids.
Right.
Putting it by the park where the kids play basketball. Cause a kid might be dumb enough not to know that that's a setup. Or dumb enough just in general to go take some shit when they really have no business taking it.
Right.
You know, if I walk past a fucking pair of shoes on the ground, I wouldn't take them because, you know, of who I am and all this shit at this point in my life where I'm like, I don't need these shoes. I'm fine. Now, but if I was younger, like 15, me, right, I might do that shit.
Because I was dumb.
And what we know about prison and what we know about kids and what we know about
charging
jail,
adults,
bail, all this shit, the money it costs and the Chicago racist ass police, now I put myself in harm's way because of this.
Yeah, and I'm glad you have advocates out there that fusses at them until they move it, because see, they make such a big scene that ain't nobody gonna stop by, or people gonna overhear them saying that they the cops, and they gonna start recognizing the vehicles that they're pulling out there on, and eventually they gonna put them out there, ain't nobody gonna touch shit.
And these, honestly, these police are fueling the privatized prison system.
Correct.
Because these prisons tell them we need more inmates, so they manufacture inmates by manufacturing crime. This isn't good. This isn't right. This isn't okay.
Crime that otherwise wouldn't have been committed.
Right. So, all right, let's move on to something else.
Are we scoring it? If we are 100,
this one's obviously 100 for both of us.
Okay.
All right, you know, let's do some guess the race and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
Here we go.
Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land, where we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everybody playing is racist. All right, let's get into some guessing. A man was arrested after allegedly getting caught having sex with a pony.
That pony love.
Mm-hmm. I guess it was his little pony. Sorry.
Good one.
My sound effect is not working right now. I don't know what happened. Thank you, Spotify, for letting me down. just imagine that won't be food again right there. Okay, guys. Thank you. Oh, wait. It's coming back up. All right, here we go. Just give it about 35 seconds.
No. It's still like no.
There you go. that was a long way to go for that sound effect. Sorry, guys. It just is what it is. All right, let's get into the article.
Hey.
Wait, why won't this article let me read this? All right, here we go. Whenever staff writer Cal Hinchley posts new content, you get an email. What? This is not the article. The hell is going on here? I gotta answer five questions to get to see the article. This is a new trick by the white man.
Right? Can we skip it?
A utility worker was arrested after reportedly being spotted having sex with a pony in Rogers County Wednesday morning. Authorities received multiple calls from an area west of Enola where a naked man was found to be having
naked
sex.
So he took his clothes off at work while he was on job.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna have sex, you're gonna have You wasn't horsing around, Karen, okay? Don't get his play clothes dirty.
Yeah, you don't go bareback. Go all bareback.
Mm-hmm. He's gonna ride side saddle on that ass. So yeah, he was found to be having sex with a miniature horse in a pen.
Oh!
Sheriff's deputies were dispatched to the intersection of County Road, according to an affidavit. A witness told investigators he saw a man full nude standing in the field having sex with a pony. Deputies and police officers from Enola Police Department responded to the scene and arrested the man, allegedly Tyler Joseph Schlosser, 29.
Too old.
Maybe he thought it was a donkey. He was just trying to get some ass. Two other witnesses prior to police arrival reportedly arrived, and one of them began recording the alleged act. Schlosser allegedly stopped and began walking towards them. Oh, didn't see that coming.
Mm-mm.
Walton said it appears Schlosser was a utility worker. Schlosser allegedly blamed his actions on medication. The sheriff added
so one of the side effects is that you're gonna be fucking miniature donkeys.
You must have been on that that shit Roseanne was on.
I thought the bitch was white. God damn it! I thought the bitch was white. Fuck.
Must have thought the bitch was white. Yeah, I don't know. It stretches the imagination, he said. I certainly have sympathy for the homeowners who had to witness it. That literally causes some emotional scars. People laugh about it and everything. I guess you gotta deal with it, but I do have sympathy for people who have witnessed sick stuff like that. Responding officers arrested Schlosser on complaints of indecent exposure, crime against nature. He was booked into Rogers County Jail, held on $50,000 bond.
I want to see in one of them states where that's not against the law. You know, some states.
Nah, they're arresting him. It's against the law.
Okay.
So.
You know, sometimes they charge him with other shit, but they was like, nope, you going to jail.
Yeah, it sounds like he wasn't too stable. Probably be spending some time in the pen.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a real good one.
All right, Karen, guess the race.
A white.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Stable. Okay, his dog was unavailable. White. That's not what genuine meant. I recuse myself. It's Oklahoma. What do you want? A pony? White man, wrong question. Giddy up, white. Whiter than the jizz he left on that pony.
Oh.
Wilbur White.
Oh no.
White. The correct answer is he's white. There he is.
Oh, okay. He looks very unhappy.
Yeah, you'd be sad too. On the meds.
Mm-hmm. You'd be sad too. They took your fine piece of ass away.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why. How he thought he could get away with it.
With the right white man, we can do anything.
That's probably why. Probably thought he could do anything. The right white man. With the right white man. All right. Next one. Facebook political argument ends with a man shot in the buttocks.
Okay. All right. So we're shooting people in the butt?
I mean, if you disagree with somebody, you know.
I'm not going to shoot you in the butt.
Okay.
That's just me.
I mean, maybe they weren't aiming for the butt. Two men disagreed about politics on Facebook. When things got heated, one showed up with a Glock and an AR-15 and shot the other in the thigh and the buttocks. It happened. Did he block him on Facebook afterwards or no?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what everybody want to know.
It happened Monday night, in Tampa. Oh damn, Florida. Charges of Brian Sebring, 44, got arrested on charges of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon and carrying a concealed firearm. Alex Stevens, 46, was the victim. Damn, y'all old to be doing this. Police said, though he may have had a role in ratcheting up the rhetoric, Sebring told officers Stevens threatened him. Oh, stand your ground, huh? After receiving several explicit messages and threats, the defendant responded to the victim's home to confront him referencing the messages. When Sebring arrived wearing the Glock and a holster on his waistband, he honked his horn, waiting by his truck for Stevens to appear. Stevens came out the home and charged towards Sebring, and that's when Sebring fired two shots with the Glock. The victim ran away and the defendant fled the scene. Yeah, that's an open and shut, stand your ground case, probably. I mean, what else can't you do? He drove to the man's house with guns and he ran towards you, so you should be able to kill him. The nature of the political dispute on Facebook was not described in detail. It is not apparent from public view of the men's home pages. Sebring is a registered Democrat who follows Barack Obama on Twitter. Voter records do not show a registration for Stevens, who is a felon. Oh, well, he's probably Sebring was booked into Hillsborough County Jail. His bail set at $9,500. The jail records state that he is delivery driver for a pizza company. His Twitter account, which company? That tells us a lot. His Twitter account describes him as a married father to, like Stevens, he went to Tampa Robinson High School. It didn't take long before a critic weighed in on Facebook. Mike Williams, one of Sebring's Facebook friends, posted Tuesday on Sebring's page, accusing him of throwing everything away for something dumb. Williams elaborated on his own page. Throw your whole life away, including your kids, because you can't handle shit on Facebook. Sad, 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 he wrote, making a derisive comment about snowflakes. Guess the race, Karen.
What is his name again?
His name is Brian Sebring.
Or White.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. White. White on white crime. When keeping it real goes wrong, Black. A white.
Not a white.
I don't see any other guesses. Oh, Betty White, Monday Night Raw White. The correct answer is a white. Some of y'all did get, one of y'all got it wrong. Liberal snowflake cucks. I hear causing all these problems. All right, bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race in the bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, Karen is 2-for-2. But will she finish strong? Let's find out. All right, you ready for the bonus round?
Let's do it.
Residents of Bristol, Connecticut got quite the grisly shock on a Monday afternoon when a bear wandered into their local liquor store.
Oh, bears got a drink too.
Staff members at Crazy Bruce Liquors were forced to act fast as the mid-sized creature made its way across the parking lot in broad daylight and into the foyer of the business.
Oh, they must got one of them doors that like automatically opened. That bear walked in, that door was like, okay, boing.
During one shocking moment in security footage, the venue almost accidentally invites the animal inside when an automatic door opens due to the hairy visitor triggering a sensor at the entrance.
Right, because the sensor don't know if you're human or not. It just go, oh, you fit the weight.
Those inside the building managed to avoid any potential danger by closing an inner door to stop the bear from strolling inside any further. A video from 2 p.m. shows an unlikely encounter take place, with most customers and employees managing to steer clear of the area. One person stopped by to pick up a purchase, however, did wander into the danger zone within the ShopRite Plaza complex on the Route 6 commercial corridor. Fortunately, quick thinking staff ushered the customer into a safety.
That's like, you got to go, get away from here.
The member of the public didn't panic as he was blissfully unaware of the bear, but assistant store manager Dan Nizowski, who has worked at the branch for 20 years and never seen a bear, says the customer was kind of shocked when he learned about his close encounter.
What was they doing now? They recognize a big ass bear.
Yeah, yo, boo boo. I heard they got some drinks in here. Initially.
Yeah, yo, boo boo, this party gonna be lit.
I don't know about this, yummy. They having it Coke 45. Initially, those involved thought the bear was a big dog when it was spotted outside.
Oh, shit.
native to North America, bears are everywhere.
We actually in their territory.
According to the International Union of Conservation of Nature, the omnivores are only two of the 8 species that are not in danger of extinction. Okay, da da da.
You mean they're gonna be here long after we gone?
Yep. Guess the race of the bear.
Oh, it's a black bear.
Karen's going with black. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe about the bear's race. A Darby bear never says when black, black, brown, brown, black as night, liquor store, black, black. The correct answer, brown bear looking for 40s, nigga bear.
Okay. Ah!
The correct answer is black. It was a black bear, Karen. And many of you did miss it because you said brown.
Somebody said prone to crime, black.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean, you know, I was going in there checking to see if they had any malt liquor. Mm-hmm. I was looking for some specific. Y'all got some Hennessy?
That bear look underage.
Y'all got some Hennessy? Well, you know, black don't crack, Karen. Black bear don't crack bear. What y'all got up in here? I need some Cavassier. All right, let's go to the final segment, Sword Ratchetness. A woman was charged over Forest Lodge samurai sword death. A woman has been charged and a man remains under police guard after the pair handed themselves in to police over the fatal shooting of local hip-hop legend Jet McKee in Sydney's inner west last week. This is happening in Australia. Yep. Mr. McKee, 30, was found dead on the road with a massive head wound at lunchtime on Friday after an argument broke out inside of a home on Hereford Street in Forest Lodge. Mr. McKee, who performed under the name Skeppas, was heard arguing with a woman and a man inside a home before he staggered out onto the street and collapsed. Fairfax Media understands he was stabbed with a samurai sword, allegedly one of many swords inside the house where the altercation took place. Emergency services were called, but he was found dead. On Saturday, police released a description of the man and woman Mr. McKee was allegedly arguing with. The hunt for the pair continued on Monday until 6 p.m. when a man and woman handed themselves in Newtown Police Station. The 23-year-old woman was charged with murder and will appear in court. The 28-year-old man was taken to the hospital under police guard, seeking treatment for a pre-existing facial injury. He is expected to be charged upon his release from the hospital. Tributes to the legend of Australian hip-hop have flowed, with one fan and friend describing him as calm, collected, and humble soul. This is the last person I would have ever thought this would happen to, said Liat Jekes. Yeah, in Australia, they ban guns. And it still happened with a sword. Another legend of the Sydney rap scene lost. Big love and rest in peace, my dude. Hip hop artist Mr. Ruckman said. Man, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, Australian hip hop, they don't be saying the N word shit, you know, since they don't come from this. All right, y'all, that's it. We'll be back later on. If you are a regular member or a premium member, a new episode of This Too Much is out.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Bossy reviewing episode 1 of season 3 of Insecure that came out Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So we are back and we will be trying to do that as often as we can. Thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for showing up. Thanks for people that come to the chat. Thanks to those who are planning to come to the live show September 20th.
Yes.
We're almost just about a month away, guys. Right. We are almost there.
Almost.
Get off your ass and get your fucking ticket, man. Okay? I would hate for you not to make it. We would love to see you all there. Thank you so much. Tickets, you can get them at theblackouttest.com/live2018. I'll put it in the show notes as well. All right, guys. Thanks for the support and the love. We will talk to y'all soon. Until then, peace.
Oh.
And Karen.
I love you.
Hold on, I'm not done.
Okay.
Karen.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.
Thank you.